way that they can print money is if you don't back it by anything, then you have to sell bonds to bring revenue into the treasury,
right,
to gauge, to base the amount of cash money that bills, so bills can be printed. And that has to balance. And if it gets out of balance, then you have inflation or deflation, or it's skewed to keep that in checks and balances.
Right.
You don't have a runaway currency. Okay?
Okay.
So that's how that all works. Well, it was getting so superfluously out of balance at that particular time that it was getting, you see, it was getting to become quite an anomaly.
And so you're saying that anomaly had to be met, and JFK brings out or wants to reissue silver certificates to be able to bring this back into balance, hoping that
yes.
China would.
No,
but
not that they would. It's what they'd already bought.
It's what they already bought. Oh.
See,
oh.
This wasn't the Japanese. We had issue with Japanese, but we didn't have issue with China.
Oh, okay.
China's on a different program. They're on the 1,000-year plan.
Okay.
And they call the United States the dragon.
They call us the dragon.
They do. They absolutely do. And there's great, great hope. Look whose stuff we buy. Go to Walmart and see whose stuff's being purchased. Their country. It's their poster child for their gross national product. Well, you go, wait a second, Walmart is American. Yes, it is. But there's not, but that's the play field, that's the playing ground. So in this participation, now are we pushing against one or another? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Please. There's room for everyone. And you keep making more room for more of you. You keep increasing. With all this starvation and all this pandering, you know, you'd think you'd run out of bridges for people to live under, and yet they seem to keep building bridges for people to move under. You marvelous creators, you make a space. You make room. You know, and as many people that are checking out, you'd run out of graves after a little while. Excuse me, ma'am, we need to take your house because so many people have died. We need to bury people on your property because we have no place to bury them all. And yet, somehow you still find space to keep digging a little place to chunk some more in the ground. Well, Paris, they were having that problem in the 1800s. They started digging people up and repurposing the graves, so much so that they stacked the bones under the churches so they could make room for more graveyard issues. So if you take it into the context of what we're talking about here, it just becomes not so necessarily significant.
Okay.
But then you say, now wait a second, we're having this conversation, and this conversation is, how do we come into our place of power? How do we come into our place of power? Is Obama the answer? He certainly could be. He's as good as any. It's no problem. It's no different than your Ronald Reagan, who every single day of his presidency says, no more new government. Okay? Every day. No, you don't need any big government. No more big government. Mr. Gorbachev, take down that wall. No more big government. You do understand under his administration that the government increased 5 times.
Right.
No. Not like 5, 10, 15, 20. No, 5, 10, 20, 40, 80. It increased 5 times exponentially. Under the words, no more big government.
That's right.
Every day. So if you just keep typing, all you got to do, just keep typing, tweet, run your chip bodies. That's those little plastic things that you don't leave home without it. You just keep typing. That's all you have to do. It's great. It's very wonderful.
Well, let me ask you this. If JFK lived, and he decided that he wanted to, his path to bliss was going to be a second term in office, what would the world look like? What were people afraid of if he were to continue in office?
It'd be no different, because the satellite computer TV complex of the 60s creating a global theater was that tactile environment was a threat to every country's national image. And he would have been dealing with the same effects that came from that decade that surfaced anyway: civil rights, sexual revolutions, rock revolution, psychedelic revolution, the Third World Revolution, all the revolutions the matrix for that, as McLuhan explained, was the satellite. No president, no image would be able to handle that. So he would have gone through the same thing as LBJ Nixon did.
But he might have reacted. He might have, from his own sensibility, reacted differently to those outgrowths.
He can react all he can differently, but those environments are bigger than the White House.
But you were
the role of the president.
But you were saying he was bigger because he inhabited the TV body so well. He brought
only
the Shangri-La.
In
pardon?
Only in lack of life.
But I mean, his speeches were very inspiring during life, and I think people, just like Obama's speeches, are very good during life. And
right.
I think that
you're referring to when I say that Kennedy on the technological level was assassinated because the old Big Brother gang felt threatened by this inflated image on TV, which no one had ever seen before.
Exactly.
No one knew that charisma would come like that. So that's within the United States.
Right.
And but that's there's the television causing a problem. It inflated JFK's charisma to the point some people may have felt threatened by it.
Right, right. So I'm saying if he still, you know, came down the line, you know what, he was assassinated. And like you said, you were a part of the cover-up, you knew who did it. So if he lived, what were you guys fearing?
If he lived, we were afraid that people would think he was more important than us.
But wasn't he a part of you?
No. His father was, but he was a newcomer. We're talking about people who've been around a couple hundred years.
But why wouldn't he work within the... You were saying that he would thwart so much of what you guys had done for the past 200 or 300 years? And what was that you were so afraid of? Was it the silver certificates? Was it the...
No. Camelot would replace the business as usual.
Yeah.
The 30s.
Yeah, everybody was thrown by the power of television. And so the elites were confused by it.
It's synchronized.
They probably look back now and say, what the hell were we thinking of? It wasn't a big deal. But that's now, which is a different situation, different medium. So back then, it was, as McLuhan said, every new medium creates paranoia in the society, and especially to the vested interests of the older medium.
Right, right, right. So hold
what Ion's talking about is the effect on the economy that television in that environment was doing. It was creating a feeling of instability. Maybe Ion could explain why was there an oscillation of security, of national confidence in 62-63.
But before that, let me ask. Ion said that business as usual was the 1930s. The 1930s...
Big Brother. That's Big Brother. Remember, McLuhan said 1984 was set up in 1934. That's the world government right then in the 30s.
Okay. Okay.
So that structure, which remained intact after World War II, was threatened by television and the computer and the satellite coming in together.
Okay.
So I want to ask Ion why Ion is saying that there was an insecurity in 62-63 about the economy. What are you referring to?
The JFK noticed that this isn't backed by anything. Houston, we have a problem. And if we don't deal with this problem today, we will one day. And guess what? That day surely has arrived. You're dealing with now what would have been dealt with in his second term of office.
You think he would have? Now I would think that he became focused on what Big Brother accepted about the economy, which was set up in 1938. They didn't worry about that, the elites. But Kennedy, being sort of a new person,
but isn't that interesting? This Camelot that is, you know, this medieval place or mythical place of a chicken in every pot. Folks came back to the place, well, I want my 40 acres and a mule.
Yep.
Where's President Taft with my land grant?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else, they've got them. Why didn't I get mine? Reparations will be served. So much so to the point that you're not guaranteed happiness. You're guaranteed the right to be happy as an inalienable right. Doesn't mean that we're going to make you be happy. What it means is that you have the opportunity to be happy if you so choose to. But you're so free, you build jails and put yourself in them.
Okay, Ian, I'm saying that television caused an uneasiness in the culture so that JFK focused on the old medium of money and started worrying about whether it was backed or not, where it did not have to be backed for 20 years.
Well, correct, because now for the very first time, consistently all day, every day, they realized that even those in very high places took their clothes off just like everybody else did, only this time, if you had a degree of flatulence, it was on the evening news. Where beforehand, it was not, you see.
I'm saying that it synced up
more people in that world.
What did?
TV.
Yeah, yeah. So the TV landscape caused a crisis for everybody. And also, what's the content of the TV landscape? Motown.
Mm-hmm.
The great Smokey Robinson Miracles and Supremes are starting to surface in 62, 63. And that's making the black people see themselves on this public media. Imagine the empowerment that gave them. That's where they want their chicken in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they had already had that kind of influence on culture, you know, back, since the times of the spirituals of, you know, I mean... What they had in their churches. They already knew, you know.
Jazz,
it's the other people didn't know.
Jazz integrated the world in the 20s and 30s, the whole world, and then after World War II, the African Americans demand to be integrated into the subculture of literacy. They want education. They want book stuff. They want an education, whereas the real medium was radio. But then television allowed them to be seen,
mm-hmm.
and the black image is more powerful than the weak white image on television. So it was a whole different new empowerment than acoustic space that radio brought in.
Hmm.
And isn't it interesting that you talk to your older generations, we don't really define them that way, but you do, that people used to sit around and watch the radio?
Yeah. Yeah. They show pictures of people staring at the radio. Yeah.
Yeah, Norman Rockwell was the best of showing them
right.
watching the radio.
Right.
They watched that little box so long it became a picture. And then before long you could see Niagara Falls. You could feel the mist in your house coming off of Niagara Falls.
Even though you've never been there?
Oh, even though you'd never been there. And so it took the human creators to places in their minds that was synced up. You didn't have free range mind play. It was all connective. It was all the meme of the day. Oh, there's a massacre. Oh, their tower fell. Oh, there's a war. Oh, there's a terror.
Right.
Oh, there's drugs.
Right.
Oh, there's cancer. Oh, there's, well, what does that have to do with whether or not you hold your row or not?
Right.
To
right.
drag food into your own house, you see.
Okay. Let me interject here. So if everybody in the 30s and 40s is staring into space, trying to fill in the visual complement to what they were hearing on the radio, that's because they were visually biased people. But when you have television in the 60s, you can see. You don't have to use your imagination. So where are you going to fill in? You're going to fill in by taking drugs and go inner, the interior landscape.
That makes sense.
Psychotropics were very effective for that. Still are.
Yeah. Still are, because TV is a powerful environment. It's a digital TV now, and it's shrunk. But back to this. So here, UC Kennedy would have dealt with the financial weakness since 1938 in his second term. You're saying that, Ion?
Yeah.
Right.
That was a problem.
Would he have accomplished that, corrected it?
Well, that's up to you humans. You make the problem so you can have solutions because you like to be an overcomer.
Right.
Who benefited from not having that solution brought by JFK dying before he went ahead with that economic plan?
That's almost a "Are you still beating your wife?" question because here you go, it belayed orders, directions, because at that stage of the world of the time, the White House, the great big White House, well, it was just a house. Well, no, it was just a place, a geographic home. It actually had a tremendous degree of influence and power. And today, it just becomes a great postcard scene.
Hmm.
There's not as much power. So it actually just belayed the inevitable of you're getting down to the only thing that ever works anyway, and that is that you have to come into your own power, and you will one way or the other. Now you have abundance, although either you have abundance, and you're going, what, wait, what do you mean abundance? Well, you have an abundance of problems, or an abundance of debt, or an abundance of hunger, or an abundance of disconnection, or any abundance that's contrast. And that contrast is wonderful, because all day, every day, that's how you redefine what it is that you want. Do you realize if your washing machine never broke, you would never get a new washing machine? They'd have no way of adding technology to your washing machine. You'd have the same. People used to, when your washing machine got to where it wouldn't work, you called the Maytag man. Well, he retired. He's gone. There is no repair man now. Now you just go buy a new washing machine, and you get all the new technology added to that contraption, okay? Your plastic boxes, those things that you type on, you don't work on them. You don't repair them. You throw them away.
So you're saying because we have fiat money that you can just print on demand, and somebody, and just because the government can tax and leverage against the assets of America, the benefit of
that's already been done.
Okay,
it's all leveraged. It's all done.
When did they tap out the leverage against the assets versus the fake currency that we have? When did they?
February the 9th, 1962.
So now, because we have this currency that then can be just manipulated and can bring about growth Let me finish.
Let's focus on that date, Evan. What happened on February 9th, 1962? He just gave us an important date. What? Fill in more about that ion.
That's when they ran out of assets to pledge. You do understand the reason you have national forests and national parks and national places. It wasn't to keep America beautiful. It was because those lands had been pledged for loans. And there's still security. There's security deeds issued on those national trusts that pledge those properties and the natural resources thereof to cover loans that still have not been paid.
And
time to pay the piper.
What kind of square footage are we talking about?
Well, it's vast. It's vast.
The national parks.
All the national parks. The reason that something is made a national park is so it can be secured and the warranty deed can be retracted. You used to have deeds. When did that change? If you buy your house and you actually figure out a way to pay for it, you own it. No loan, you own it. Why don't they give you a deed? They don't. They give you a warranty deed. Why? Why can't they just give you a deed? No, they're giving you a warranty deed which says that this is a good deed. Would you rather have a spare tire? Would you rather have a contract for a spare tire? If you get a flat in the middle of a desert, would you rather have a piece of paper saying that this is good for one free tire? Or would you rather have a spare tire in your trunk?
We'll take the tire.
Well, of course. Well, but you didn't. You took the warranty deed. And now when you buy and sell property, you have to execute a security deed for the lien part and then the warranty deed stating that it's good. That's all. Not the property itself. It's the piece of paper that says it's good. The warranty deed. It would be the equivalent of an extended warranty on your vehicle. Are they very effectively wonderful to have? Not so much.
Not so much.
So, Ion, this is the weakness that JFK inherited. February 1962, that caused an insecurity.
Yes.
That we were tapped out. Okay.
So JFK said, we've got to do something about this.
The mortgage on Camelot was due.
But you know what? I remember Clinton went and established a whole new round of federal forests during his tenure, didn't he?
Had to. That was because of Nasara and the repatriation that didn't get paid in 2000.
Now, go into Nasara because, I've had folks on that talk about it's very hard to find information about that. Could you tell us what Nasara should have done And what, you know, and how Clinton countered it, or just what more information on the SARA.
Okay. How far back would you like to go?
Wow. Well, you're good at taking us anywhere and everywhere, man, so we have time.
1933.
All right. Well, actually, even a little bit before that. This is rambling along. You got to realize, you look at America as this superpower, but then you take us back 300 years ago, and then it was a wilderness. Well, isn't it interesting that in a short three people in Europe live in houses that are older than this country, your country, is? Literally.
Yeah.
And they have furniture that's older than your country is. So you're babes in Toyland as far as this superpower business goes.
Right.
And even like with China, they're on a 1,000-year plan. They're not on a 5-minute plan. And we don't even hold the 5-minute plan in place. We can't keep it put together for 10 minutes. Well, we go, Ion, people in China are starving to death by the thousands. Yes, and guess what China says? Now, we're not talking about China the government. We're talking about China the people. China says, yes, but we'll have more babies. And you go, whoa, wait a minute. That's life. You're forfeiting life. They says, no. We're on the 1,000-year plan. You don't understand. We've been around a long time. We're going to be around a long time. They've embraced their eternalness. Then the bigger picture, this is not about a window, a snapshot of all are lost. You see?
Yes.
It takes on Vegas after a little bit. We got one more roll of the dice and hope we don't crap out. Hope we don't crap out. One more roll of the dice. Hope we don't crap out. Well, that's what you're talking about. That was your housing bubble. That was all your other bubbles that you sort of embraced and come into a place. But Nasara, to be specific, comes into a place where the corporations within your country used pledged assets for loans to bolster, keep up these, this what they call these trade agreements that were taking place to, I will if you will. Here, that's what a contract's for, isn't it?
Yes.
I will if you will. Well, the only reason the contract is important is if you won't, or if something happens and something changes to where you can't, then if that gives the if clause, I will if you will. And if I stop, then this is the penalty phase.
Right.
Well, that's these contracts that are due, these contracts that weren't paid. Loans were made to keep this, what you call the separateness of, that'd be like defining the government, keeping the government going and keeping the country going.
Hmm.
Well, the country is the government. Well, not so much.
Right.
Not so much. See, there's a it's confusing. Like when we speak of China, everybody thinks of the government. Well, the Chinese government is doesn't have very much power. That's what they run from. That's the Politburo of the day.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't, and just like your place of coming, when your policemen cease getting paid to protect and serve, guess what happens? They stop protecting and serving.
Mm-hmm.
They figure CYA equals ENO.
Who has the, when you're saying the corporations, you're talking about the United States Corporation that has pledged this, correct?
Yes.
I mean, do corporations, I don't know if which ones are which ones actually hold a deed versus a warranty deed to pledge assets? I mean, if we're talking on the same vein of pledging, you know, the assets, the ground, you know.
We are. Who has the deeds?
Yeah,
if everyone has a warranty deed, who has the deeds?
Yeah, who has the deeds?
China.
How long have they had the deeds?
1934.
Oh.
It's when it began.
And when you sing...
And then here's how you answer that question.
Yeah.
Who's been buying was, who was, not now, who was buying all the treasuries? China.
Where did they get...
Those bonds, the treasury auction that they have, and that actually is the government, people have to buy those bonds in order to print notes. Well, is America buying their own treasuries to be able to print money? Well, that sounds kind of silly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, so therefore it's got to be outside of us, otherwise there's no increase. then it's just puffery, kind of prepared. If we cheekily use the peso as an example, but you could pick any currency because it's all indivisible by itself.
So,
I want to buy some money. Here's some money. This money's worth that. So I'm going to give you this money for that money. Well, what? What are we? So all we're doing is swapping money. Well, this money is that money. This money's worth this, so I'm going to swap it for
right.
that money.
Right.
Because I want to buy gas or milk or whatever.
Right.
And how much I'm going to exchange for it is based on what that's worth.
Right.
Well, how is that worth established or evaluated? Well, it's based and evaluated on how, supposedly, since you got rid of the silver and the gold standard that Kennedy was very appreciative of getting us back toward.
Yes.
Then what happens is it's backed by the promise. You take your money and look at it and read what it says, and you'd probably just throw it away. But that money is only good for debt.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's all it's good for. It's not. The silver certificate says, this piece of paper is good to the bearer of, one, this much, $5 worth of silver, or whatever. That it's backed by something, that you could take it some a nebula somewhere and exchange it for coinage or silver or gold, regardless of the form.
Right.
Well, that made a gold standard. That made a standard. Now there is no standard.
Right.
You see, you have basically, people talk about the national debt. If we owe this debt to ourselves, what's the problem? We'll just take our money that we have and pay our debt. Okay, so if that's the case, if that's how it works, Evan, if that's how it works, here's what we suggest you do. How much is the debt now? $12 trillion?
Yes.
Okay, here's what you do. If that's true, if that's true, and the problem is there's no money, here's what we suggest you do. You, Evan, take your checking account.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? And the government needs money.
Mm-hmm.
They need money. There's no money. Okay. So here's what you do. You have a checking account, and that's a fiduciary document, correct?
Yes.
All right, here's what you do. How much money is the problem? $12 trillion?
Yeah.
Okay. What you do is you write a check for $12 trillion.
Okay.
Okay. And now, who is the government? Is it we the people?
Yes.
That's a problem.
That's a problem, yes.
Pays to the order of the government. Okay, and who's the government?
Okay, we the people.
Evan Ray. Okay. So, pay to the order of Evan Ray, that's the government, right?
Okay.
$12 trillion. And fill it out. Now, who's the signer of this instrument? Would that be Evan?
Yes.
Okay, so you sign the check. Now, in your country, that is a security. They'll put you in jail if that's not good, correct?
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Is that right? I mean, so they count that as something.
Yes, they do.
It has value, right?
Right.
It's a fiduciary instrument according to your establishment. Okay, so now you fill out your check for $12 trillion made to you, signed by you, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now you write that in your check register, okay? You tear that check out, you flip it over. Well, now, on the back of that check, what you have to do is you have to write for deposit only.
Okay.
And you put what on there? Then you put your account number.
Right.
On it, correct?
Correct.
All right, then you take a deposit slip from the back of your checkbook, and you fill it out for $12 trillion. Right?
Okay.
Then you take it down to your local bank, and you go to in. You might go through the drive-thru. That'd be great fun. But go into your bank and say, here's this deposit. And they look at it, and, of course, their mouth drops open, and they go, And then they don't look at the money anymore. They're passing out counterfeit money all day, every day. People are taking dollar bills and washing it out and making them 20s. And they're getting the counterfeit money from the banks because banks don't look at money anymore. It has no value. It doesn't matter anyway. So that's where all those anomalous, ambiguous problems come in from those national affiliates. So they're paid to run it through their documenter, They don't have enough zeros, but they make up some zeros. That's not a problem. And they give you, what do they give you? They give you a deposit slip, correct?
Right.
And they may say, oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Ray, then this funds aren't going to be available to your account immediately. We're going to have to put a 10-day hold on your account until this clears. And they give you a piece of paper and say, that $500 will be available now, but the balance of this won't be available until it clears. And you go, thank you, Mr. Teller Man. That will be no problem whatsoever. We understand. Because the order on the fiduciary document is the only thing that's good for is to deposit into your account.
Oh, right? Which aids the banks.
Well, what happens is now their status in their NA affiliate, national affiliate, is now increased by $12 trillion. That's a liability for the bank. You see a deposit as an asset. They see a deposit as a liability. So does China. Okay? Hmm. Now what happens is, what happens at the end of the day? Used to be 2 o'clock. Everything after 2 o'clock was next day's business. Now it's moved up a bit. Because all those banks have to check up with the WHO, Federal Reserve. Well, then what happens is, they then have to account for this draw on their bank for $12 trillion. And then they go, wait a minute, we have a problem. And then they look at the deposit side, pluses and minuses, you know, that
yes.
that whole process of compilation of putting things together.
Right.
Then they look and they go, wait a minute, $12 trillion came in. Oh, okay, everything's all right. We balance. Vault's right, pot's right, we're good. But at the end of the day, while that's a hold on your account, they're processing your deposit, you've added $12 trillion to the system.
But okay, so the key, of course, is that we have that instrument has no backing, right?
Neither did your stimulus plan.
Right, exactly. How interesting.
Neither did your stimulus plan. The government, for the government, by the government, of the government, wrote itself a check and deposited it in its own account, and that's supposed to save the day.
On the lines, we have Bob Dobbs and Ion. We are at the close of the first hour with these gents. And this is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and San Diego 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. It's the end of the first hour. We're only going to be on till 3:30 for Roy of Hollywood has special programming with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, the yearly annual beautiful rebroadcast of so many of his amazing speeches. He'll be coming up at 3:30. We're going to be spending the time, the balance of the hour, with Bob Dobbs and Ion. And that's where we are right now. And so happy beginning holidays to all of you. And let's continue with Ion. Ion, you and Bob Dobbs, you brought up, we're going to transition just a little bit because time flies and you guys are genies and it's really fantastic to have you here. You mentioned Fort Hood, okay? Couple of questions. Was yes. Hassan a Manchurian candidate?
The lieutenant, the major, the
shooter at Fort Hood? The shooter at Fort Hood, Hassan is his last name?
Yes.
Was he a Manchurian candidate? Was he a mind-controlled person?
Not so much. Not so much. It's in these days, with the way your chip body and your TV body works, really and truly now, it's not whether that was or wasn't, or whether that's, it's not whether we win or lose, Eben, it's more how we place the blame.
Okay, very interesting. But he still did it. And I'm just trying to get to the motivation. Okay. Was that his motivation? Was that his path of bliss? Or did somebody help him? Did he attract somebody to help him to realize that that was his bliss?
Well, we have a bigger question. And it gets kind of really comedically funny if you think about it. You're in Fort Hood. Okay, that's a pretty big place. Isn't that the largest military base in your country?
I think so, yes.
Okay, so, and aren't there soldiers there?
Yes.
Who in Fort Hood isn't carrying a weapon with bullets?
Yes, yeah, really weird, that staging area, they're not allowed to have weapons. Really strange.
No, they have weapons.
They have weapons.
Oh, but
everybody's on a military base. Everybody's got a weapon.
But I understood in the staging area where they were waiting to get checkups and stuff like that. That in that one place they were unarmed.
And Isn't that interesting? That in this geographic anomaly of this one place on the planet where everyone has an M16, that this one person goes what you call AWOL or haywire or whatever, and has a weapon in this non-weapon area and starts shooting, and then the next thing you know, they start shooting back. Well, who was shooting back? Others in this non-weaponed area?
Yeah, they said it was the military police who finally shot him, but okay, yes.
So the point is this isn't downtown Los Angeles. Well, you know everyone has a gun in downtown Los Angeles. Right?
Right.
You ride on the I-10, you better have your 9mm. And everybody knows that. So if you're going to go AWOL, don't do it on the 10. They won't have a trial. You won't make it long enough to discuss it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Try it. Start waving your gun on the 10. They'll take care of you. Don't worry. It'll be over soon enough. So what you're seeing on your TV body, now, their tragic loss of life. Where was life lost? There was transition. There was transition. But there's lots of transition that goes on that doesn't make CNN.
Yes.
There's lots of issues that go on that don't make the news. So those aren't important. So you're going, well, you non-physical being, you're making fun of those people who gave their life. They gave their life. Yes, they did. They gave their life. Well, that becomes a participation, doesn't it?
Yes.
In this transition. So you're asking the question is what was really going on?
Yes.
Well, what was really going on was a larger dynamic that was newsworthy as there. And here's the radio, here's the ad, here's what they said. And when we say this, you're going to go, wait a minute. There is no problem in Russia, especially in Chernobyl. That was the actual footage used when Chernobyl blew.
Wow.
They said, now, there is no problem in Russia, especially in Chernobyl. Meanwhile, the mushroom cloud is floating or looming above them.
Okay? So, yes.
There is no problem at Fort Hood. Or there is no problem in our military base, especially in Fort Hood.
Mm-hmm. So
we had one person who was a psychiatrist, and he was. There's only a few psychiatrists, and isn't it interesting of his dissent that he'd be the one that would be used to console soldiers who were having post-traumatic stress disorder?
Right, and he was.
Isn't that like asking the pedophile to watch your children?
Yeah, and he was a march. They saying that he was a lame student. He wasn't motivated. He was half-assed, and they ended up sending him out to Fort Hood.
Well, apparently the half of his ass that was okay was just fine because that's the one that did the shooting.
Oh.
he did it. Remember, he did it. That's.
Were there other shooters?
Yes, there were.
How many?
There was in total 112.
Oh, come on.
Nope. Count the bullets. Count the shell casings.
I heard they talked to two other shooters, or two other people they brought in and questioned and let go. Tell us about...
Count the shell casings.
Okay, he did...
Get the redacted report.
Right.
With the black magic marker. Oh, we just have Control-Alt-Delete. We don't even have to do that anymore.
Right.
So we just mark through that thing. That's classified. So you don't want to go too far out of that plot process because this is government thing, so it's government business, so it's not us to describe or undo their notion. However, it is very interesting that any bowel movement on the planet at any time is subject to being produced on YouTube. So it's very interesting that that's not too big of an issue for humans anymore because you've been so transubstantiated into this world of your bodies that you'll even talk about it. You'll tweet about
the
newest, trickiest thing of what the newest idol did on the TV or didn't do that others have done. Well, they've done it a long time, so they have a right to be what you call lewd or lascivious.
Right.
Well, then that's a problem. So if it's a slow news day, that moves right to the top of the list.
So hold it, you're saying that, no, there weren't one shooter or three shooters, that there was 110 shooters.
12.
112.
Oh, 112 shooters. Were they amongst those that were they just within the ranks of those inside the holding pen and they just pulled out guns or something and started shooting alone?
Not so much. It was a little larger area.
It was a larger area, but were they amongst?
Well, the discussion was that there was just vast mayhem broke out.
Okay, very good.
That's what they said.
Right.
We're not cheating. We're using their words. If you look at their words, that's good enough. That'll do you in right there. You don't even have to have a psychic way of knowing inside information. It gets funny enough just looking at how they report it.
Yes. But so what kind of weapons were involved?
9mm and M16s.
So don't you think there are going to be witnesses that are... So how come witnesses...
Not in a military base where redaction is rampant.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me, exactly what goes on in Guantanamo.
Okay, thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
No. We have a right to know. We have empirical right to know exactly what goes in Guantanamo. Who's in charge? Who looks after it? Who goes there? Who gets out of there? How does it work? What do they have for dinner? How do they prepare it?
Isn't this going to make an absolute crisis in the ranks, though, if they are looking at the media saying that there was one shooter, but yet them themselves who survived this saw many people with guns? How can there be any kind? How could they keep something like that secret with all of those people witnessing the same thing?
Well, isn't that why they categorize it as post-traumatic stress disorder? There was a lot of, you want to have some fun, you go back and start talking to those veterans that came out of Vietnam. You go back and ask them what they can't remember.
Right.
You go ask them what went on. You go ask them how it went. You go ask them how it was when they came back home.
Right.
How did it look?
Right.
And people would spit on them.
Spit on them. Right.
You ask them what it did to their psyche. You ask them what psychiatrist was available to help them.
Right.
Well, you're just an abomination before God and before our military. The very idea. What were you thinking?
Joining
our country's military to fight this unwar.
Right.
Oh, wait. That was a conflict. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to, because the time, I'm telling you, let's get to the connection to the silver certificates in Fort Hood.
Yeah, Evan, you asked the question, where did the Chinese get their money to buy that stuff?
Right, back in 1930s.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had theirs backed. Their currency was backed.
By?
Precious metals.
They have vast amounts of gold in China?
They do.
And
they have palaces made out of it.
Very true. Very true. So how do the silver certificates link to Fort Hood?
Well, no, it was just that, it's interesting that just as this anomaly or this particular story, which will wither away very quickly, apparently there was all kinds of transactions taking place that didn't make the news, and the only way that didn't make the news is to put out the story that there is no problem in Russia, especially in Chernobyl.
Okay.
So there was lots of things taking place.
Right.
In that geographic safe, largest military base in the country.
Right.
Geographic location area, because it's been made very clear you don't mess with Texas, remember?
Right.
They put it on their logo. Wait, what? Do not mess with Texas. We're just letting you know. Just so everybody knows, don't mess with Texas. Okay. We're good. So, to answer that question, may get more than you want to know.
Oh, well, give us what we should know, or what we can know.
That's what you can know.
Okay,
it was a sidebar of other activities that were, that you're still dealing with. The same thing you're dealing with today is the same issues that JFK decided that it was easier to transition than to deal with in his day.
Are you saying that there are people out there that are trying to resuscitate or save America financially? Or are you saying there are people taking assets and running out of the country with them?
No, dear. There are many vast numbers of gold and silver certificates that are still out, that have been already printed, that were not confiscated or collected.
Very good.
And those are out, and they are still bearer on on demand.
Good.
And if you walk into your government with that piece of paper and they cannot produce what that government promises that it would back and cover, then Houston, you sure enough are going to have a problem.
Was this what happened? What was it? It was. I forgot when this happened, but there were two Japanese businessmen traveling through Italy into Switzerland, and they got busted with what, like $36 billion in bearer bonds that were Kennedy, bonds.
Yes. Yes.
And what were they trying to do?
Move them to Switzerland. Well, actually not to Switzerland, to Zurich, to deposit them.
And whose were they?
Theirs.
And who did they represent?
Kennedy's money of his administration.
Were they were Japanese?
Negotiable? Were they negotiable? Yes.
What happened to those bonds?
They evaporated into the ethers.
What happened to those two men?
Never heard of since.
Hmm. Going on to a different...
They're not on a beach somewhere.
Okay, that's really sad. Can we talk about the Ukraine? Supposedly, there was a huge quarantine. Schools have been closed. They talked about low-flying planes October 29th through October 31st, right before they started all of the quarantines. For one... Is there a major breakout of some kind of biological or some kind of disease going on in the Ukraine?
A testing of it, yes.
And is it affecting, well, for one, why the Ukraine?
Well, because you don't want that nastiness in Los Angeles. It's rough enough there as it is.
I know, but why the Ukraine, though?
Oh, it's good as any.
Okay. And does it have anything to do with Putin being pissed off about the Orange Revolution at all?
You mean his son?
Oh, is that his son?
Yeah.
The one that got deformed because of that toxic substance they put in his water, that was his son?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, he'd do that to his own family.
Why not?
And what is it?
It was good enough for the Tsar. Why wouldn't it be good enough for him? I mean, it's kind of relative after a bit, isn't it?
Sir, yes. And what is it that they are testing?
Well... The new, very good, dear. You're hitting on the points this morning. The new super strain that would replace the flu of the swine.
And what are they using this time?
Well, it's all done from a super streptococcus.
Okay.
Which is like a streptococcus, which
right.
would be. They used to call it mononucleosis.
Yes, yes.
It's a simplified form or version. They call it kissing disease.
Oh, wow.
And then they just give you a pill, and that takes care. Well, that had to come from somewhere. Now we're not being salacious. It's that these marvelous human creators are creating these things that are showing up that they're using as this campaign that we're going to do you in and all that kind of stuff. Honey, they're not trying to do you in. They want you typing. They want you typing. You're good. They want you around to type. They're just not quite as anomalously, effectively nurturing as from mother's milk type of a situation. It's just not quite as been important of a deal, you see. And they do it under the ruse. It's not a ruse. It's their place of being. We have to be prepared. So get the oncologist ready so we can prepare for cancer. Then we have walks for cancer. Why would you walk for cancer? We're raising money for cancer. Ooh, now you have to pay for cancer before you can get it? Well, wait. We have a war on drugs. Well, wait. Then that makes more drugs than ever has been. No, it's not drugs. You used to be a drug dealer. Now you're a terrorist. Terrorist is worse than a drug dealer. So apparently drug dealers are okay. But don't worry. The ozone's going to get you. The ozone's going to take you out. No, never mind. Sorry. Ozone's okay. Okay, hairspray's
well,
all right.
But you see, this
hairspray.
Is... Yes, sir. This is what exactly... I mean, I think this is what they... This is the actual violence, is the trauma of these words. The little thought forms that are embedded by constant barragement, you know, of fear-based little, you know... entities out there. And so,
then, global warming is going to make you so right. cold you'll freeze to death.
Going
Wait, what? What? How does that work? Hold on.
Going back to the Ukraine, how many people are infected?
Approximately 644,000 so far.
And I understand that there's something different about this, that it isn't housed in the sinuses, that somehow it goes straight to your lung.
That is correct. And that's why we talk about the mononucleosis version. It's called a super strep.
Now, there was a case of two women, one of them from Washington State and one of them from either Sweden or something, that were at a hotel in, was it Thailand, sir? Where was it?
Yes.
It was Thailand.
Kuala Lumpur.
Right, or Kuala Lumpur. And they were, and all of a sudden they came down with a disease that turned their lungs into schlop, and the tissue.
Jelly. It was a jelly form. The cilia of the lungs deteriorated and massed together to form like a, it just basically seized. That's a way to say it. It seized, and in that seizing, of course, that it just turns to mucus.
Right.
If you cut off the blood supply. And the other one specifically was from the Willamette Valley in Oregon.
In Oregon. Oh, in Oregon. Okay, very good.
Sorry, we were just being clear if you wanted to know.
I want you. I want you to be so clear. So supposedly they never got the bodies back and the tissue went missing.
Correct.
Is this linked to...
Well, no, it didn't go missing. It just got out of your eyes.
Yes, okay, very...
It just got out of your mind's eye, that's all.
Very...
It didn't go missing. Nothing goes away, my dear. Nothing goes away. It's still here.
Who has that?
Ask it a different way, because that's not so important. That's not the most important question of the moment. Scientist, and then you go say who, and then you say where, and then it goes on and on and on and on. So that's not the most. That's not the algorithm of your alchemy you're trying to push here.
Very
what
good.
You're trying to get at is, how did we get here?
Well, okay. I really want to know if it's linked to to what we're seeing in the Ukraine. Is this more testing?
Yes. We got to get ready.
Right.
Pigs are going to fly. When pigs fly, Edmund, well, they did.
Mm-hmm.
When pigs fly, yes, and they want ice water in hell, too. Well, it's on its way.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Let me, this is another tangent, real quick. In a moment of tangentialness, of your deliciousness, Ion, you mentioned something about the 33 degrees and the 33 vertebrae. What direction and what is the alignment? Because everybody immediately thinks of Freemasonry when you talk about 33 degrees. Is that the reference you were making, or is it something else?
There's a larger reference then. It's not just Freemasonry.
Yes.
There's lots of things that take place on the 33rd parallel.
What other things take place there?
Well, this is great fun. The 33 degrees, now that if you look at it from where the equator was and 33 degrees north of that, and you take a line, it goes all the way around your globe, your sphere of this terra firma place you call Earth.
Yes.
Take a line, or they used to have globes, but I think the chip body replaced those. But I'm sure you have an app on your Peapod that'll show you the globe.
Yes.
Spin you around exactly on that axis, and it's 3D, and it'll come out. It'll just tell you everything in the news, blow by blow, as you go off the different latitudes of that longitude. It'll tell you everything going on, everything that ever happened. It's all there on your World Wide Web, and there's apps. You don't know they're there yet, but they're there. Don't worry. You just have to activate them. It's great.
Right.
Take that 33rd parallel and make a circle all the way around the globe, and start picking up or noticing what it is that is on that particular line. And then within a few little minutes and degrees, or seconds, I guess is how they call that, of what's in that line. And that will be the answer to your question, because we can't, you're the human creators, you make out of it what you like to make out of it, but it becomes quite interesting when you look at that particular degree. Sometimes we call it a degree of separation, but sometimes that's the part, that's the contrast that brings you into the new deliciousness, because just as you have super strains of these viral things, guess what you make out of that, Eben? Superhumans.
Right.
Because your contrast, the contrast, if you go through a bad marriage, it'll make you a stronger person. Don't you worry.
Hmm.
It'll take the life right out of you, and you'll land on your feet stronger than you were,
mm-hmm.
or it'll check you right out.
Right.
Either way.
Right.
So if you look at the 33rd parallel, and that's where Freemasonry got it from.
Yes.
See, that's the larger picture, the larger dynamic. The Pharaohian era, they understood that significance. The Mayans understood that significance. Shangri-La in those Tibetan Himalayan mountain ranges, they understood that significance. And it's not that you should be getting there. It's just pay attention to your world as it is, and that's how you know where you are.
Hmm. And what? Why the 33 vertebrae?
You chose it.
Hmm.
Every creation that is created is your very own. Otherwise, it would not be.
Let me ask you another little tangential thing. Bob was saying that you refer to yourself as a future terrestrial. Are
no.
you?
No. No,
no. Did I get that wrong? I got
yes,
that wrong.
Yes. It's okay. You can't get it wrong, and you never get it done. Here you go. You humans created time. We in non-physical don't judge time. And if we, because we would tangle you up just beyond reproach. Because if you have time, then okay, Evan, when was it begun? Humans created time. Well, you don't even know when you begun. And all day, every day, it's the end. It's the end. It's the end of days. It's the end of days. We're out of time. Uh-oh, time's up. We're out of time. Up. No, no. Well, and it's not going to end, okay? Because you can't start it. So it's a conundrum. It's an anomaly. So therefore, the only time that there is, now there's metronome, tick-tock time. Those are stacked expanses. That's fine. No problem. But there is no time. Some days are slow. Some days are fast.
But, oh, sir, I'm sorry. I was trying to talk to the point as to if the on the key word of terrestrial, your extraterrestrial,
yes.
future terrestrial.
Yes. The non-physical is all. There is no time. There's no past. There's no present. There's no future. There's
yes.
only the now.
Yes. And so
the non-physical part of you, it only has now.
Yes.
And its represented place of itself.
Would you say then, as and I'm just trying to get to the point, are the entities that are helping us have better understanding, are you of a humanoid species? Because
No. Humanoid meaning that you have a spirit man inside of you, then yes, that's connected, and all those are connected together. The non-physical part that is you already, your spirit, it's connected to Source.
Okay.
Okay. Whether you acknowledge it or not.
Right.
Okay. You know, really. And all those are actually connected because that's where you came from and that's where you go to in this continual journey of your eternalness.
Right.
Well, that mass knowing, there's no contrast here in non-physical. So therefore, we have no power to create.
Right.
We have no power to create because you got to have contrast. You can't build a muscle unless you're stretching it. You see, pumping iron, you can't build a muscle. So therefore, in no consciousness, everything is bliss. So there is no problem. There is no issue. There is nothing. There is no problem.
But isn't there more for you to discover?
Yes, we get to play in the deliciousness of you human creators that kill yourselves and bring yourselves and cause problems and cause cancer and get over it and cause the pigs to fly and ice water to be freely passed out into hell and
so then what is
the heavens rejoice as you evolve into your place of becomingness.
So is that do you travel then to other planets, other systems and watch the evolutionary process of other species?
You're asking as though they're not already at a fingertip space.
Huh.
You're asking as though that parallel worlds are not the norm. You're asking that there's not even another set of twin towers somewhere that got removed back to its place of origin.
Right.
So if that's the case, then how do you answer that question? So how are you able to imagine that question in your mind if it were not from the non-physical part that is you, Eben, that allows you to come into this place of asking?
Right.
How would you have that question?
Huh.
See? That's the non-physical part, the delicious part that you resonate with. And then you resonate, and then you come into a place where you know, I think, I know. You've heard people say, well, I think I know. No, no. You think, so therefore then you know. It's delicious.
You guys.
So Ion.
Yeah.
And Eben, that's howionic.com, howionic.com. Go there for more.
Right, right. That's Bob's and Ion's website, howionic.com. Howionic.com. Well, it is always a pleasure to not recognize time and to just go and space, because we get to go anywhere with you guys. And you've really been quite generous in helping us get a firmer understanding about the little, you know, blip on the chart, which is this existence here, and thank you so much for delving into some of the matters of this planet that are just baffling to us, and like you said, get ready, and that's what we're doing.
Thank you for flying Ion.
All right,
it's our great pleasure.
All right, darlings. Ion and Bob Dobbs, you can see them at howionic.com, howionic.com. Roy of Hollywood is on his way in, and so until next week, loves.
You've been listening to Radio Alchemy with your host, Evan Ray. Be sure to visit our website, www.radioalchemy.com, and join us next week for more mind-blowing revelations from the fringe.